Welcome to online Bible class this week. It's really lovely that you've been able to join us and it's good to have you with us. So before we come to our lesson today, we're going to turn to our Bible reading. So as always, if you want to go and get your Bible, please go and pause the recording so you can follow along as we read together. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll start reading from verse 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And let's look at our Bible learning sheet today. You can see this as always on our website. You can download it or print it or just look at it on the screen. We'll just look at the two verses of the four verses on the sheet. And it's hymn number 197. It's by Isaac Watts, who was one of the first hymn writers living in Southampton in the south of England. So verse 1, come let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. And verse 2, worthy the Lamb that died, they cry, to be exalted thus. Worthy the Lamb, our lips reply, for he was slain for us. And you know those words are taken almost exactly from Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, if you want to look it up, which speaks about the angels' song in heaven, how they shall surround the throne of God, praising the Lord Jesus Christ as worthy the Lamb that died, for he was slain for us. Let's come before the Lord in prayer before we come to our lesson. Let's ask for his help today. Dear Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee that we can come before thee, the high and the holy God, the creator God, the almighty God, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, the God who knows and sees us. Lord, while thou art a vast and almighty God, we know, we read in thy word that thou art the God who cares for individuals such as we are. Lord, even though we are small specks of dust upon this earth, oh Lord, we know that thy love extends even to us. And Lord, how much thou dost desire for us to draw near and to seek and to find thee. Oh Lord, this is our desire this day as we come to our Bible class lesson. We thank thee for this opportunity, even when we cannot meet together in person. We thank thee that we can still join in this way to come under the sound of thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help each and every one listening now to be fixed and focused upon thy word, Lord, to put away all distractions in our minds or around us. O Lord, that we would truly listen to thy word and those things that thou wouldst have us to know. O Lord, bless us and help us, work in us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we would see our sin and our need, and Lord, that thou wouldst draw us, each one, to thyself, that we would know that great joy of salvation. Lord, so bless our time together now. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Do you know what stops most people from becoming Christians? Or what stops people from ever coming to a church if they're invited or to read the Bible? You know, it's not so much that they don't believe that God exists, although of course there are people like that. But it's very often because they do not see their sin. If we, like most people, think that we're not that bad, then do you know that we can never be saved if this is our attitude? Because it means that the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross doesn't mean anything to us. I wonder whether you see yourself as a sinner. It's a very offensive statement to make, isn't it? To call someone a sinner and to say that the whole of the human race has fallen short of the glory of God. But we have to affirm these things, not because these things are our opinion, but this is what the Word of God says, God's Word of truth. And you know, we see evidence of human nature's sin all around us. Every day, even in the newspapers, on the television, we see consequences of sin. This is why our world is the way it is. Well, today's lesson, we're going to have a deeper look at this subject of sin. Sometimes we can think that sin is limited. Perhaps we think of the word sin and we think of perhaps a raging atheist or a murderer, and we think this is sin. Well, it isn't limited just to that. Sin is wide ranging and it comes in very many shapes and forms. And we trust that in this time together today, we'll be able to see from the things that we look at that every one of us is full of sin. Now, it might sound a strange thing to say that it's good to learn about sin, but it really is, not just because it's true of our human condition and explains the way the world is today, but seeing our sin helps us to see the wonderful love of the Saviour. We know that the Bible, the gospel message, means good news. But in order to know and to truly realise this good news, we have to understand the bad news too. And that's about our state, our sinful state before God. If we grasp what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and ask him for forgiveness, this is how we are truly saved. Now, the society that we live in today is ignorant about sin. Even the word sin doesn't really resonate in our society, does it? It seems an old-fashioned word. And of course, today we're actually encouraged to sin. We're encouraged to be proud of ourselves, to think of ourselves first and foremost in our lives, put ourselves first. We're encouraged to do whatever we want. We're encouraged to indulge in sinful habits and addictions if those are the things that make us happy. We're taught today that we are righteous people. Many people today, this is a very common view, that the human race is generally, on the whole, a good, moral, law-abiding people who do good things. And there's a very small minority of sinful or evil people. So today let's look at these four aspects of sin, four categories of sin, which we really hope will help you to see the depth and the breadth of sin and its ugliness and how this is the true state of each and every one of us. So our first heading today is rebellion. Rebellion. Now, can you imagine stealing a car or a very expensive piece of jewellery, and then driving the car around and wearing the jewellery, perhaps not at the same time, but these are just examples,
pretending that these things that you've stolen are your own. That seems an outrageous thing to do, doesn't it? But do you realise that this is what we have done with our lives? We haven't made ourselves. God has given us our lives. He's made us as individuals. He's given us health and strength and abilities and talents and many blessings such as our families and our friends and our homes. Yet, we live as if there was no God and we do as we please with no thought for the God who has made us. You know, it all might seem as though you can do as you want and there are no consequences, but throughout your life, you'll find that there are consequences from living in rebellion against God. And of course, at the end of our lives, we must stand before God and give an account of our lives. And on that day, any excuses we might have now will mean nothing, especially for those of us, like many of us today listening, those of us who have heard the gospel before. On that day, if we haven't turned to the Saviour, we will wish with all our hearts that we had turned while there was time, because on that day, it will be too late. Our second aspect of sin is guilty lawbreakers. Now, at your young age, you might not yet have felt the consequences of breaking the law in this land. You might have broken the law of the land, but perhaps you haven't been found out yet or caught. But did you know that sin is described in the Bible as the transgression of the law? Not the law of the land, but the law of God. We have broken the law of God. Now, God's law has been set out for us in 10 simple and straightforward commandments. I'm sure you know them. They're also written in our hearts and in our consciences. Many people today like to think that they've kept the Ten Commandments, and they'll usually justify this by saying, "I've never murdered anyone." This is a very common response, but it's a very simplistic response. Firstly, the Lord Jesus Christ explained that the chief sins mentioned in the Ten Commandments just refer to the head of a whole family of sins. So, "thou shalt not murder" includes hating someone, wishing someone wasn't there, wishing someone away out of your life. That means you're guilty of murder. And the commandment, "thou shalt not commit adultery," which many of us, perhaps you think this, we think, "oh, well, I can't be guilty of that because I'm not in a relationship, I'm not married." Well, the Lord Jesus said that even if you lust after someone in your heart, you are guilty of that commandment. And also, what about all the other commandments? Did you know the first four are about our duty to God? Have we honestly, truly put God first in everything in our lives? Kept one day in seven for Him? We can soon see that we've broken each and every commandment in one way or another. Now, human nature likes to measure ourselves up against other people, don't we? We like to compare ourselves to other people, and if we've done something, we think, well, that person's done much worse. So we justify our sin by looking around at what other people do. And we make up our own rules of what's right or wrong. We like to believe that a white lie or a small sin, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, then that's fine. Well, on that day of judgment, God will judge the world in righteousness. He will exercise perfect judgment, not judgment according to our own estimation of what's right and wrong or what's sinful and what's not, but according to His holy, perfect law. Well, how will we fare on that day of judgment when everything that we've thought and done and said will be open in the sight of God? Will our sins be exposed? Will we be unforgiven on that day and sent into everlasting punishment by God? Or will we have confidence on that day because we've repented of our sin and sought the Lord Jesus Christ? And we know that because of Him, we shall go to be in heaven for all eternity because He has purchased a place for us there and He has washed away all our sin. Our third aspect of sin is that we are diseased with sin. Did you know that you're infected with the disease of sin? Sin really is like a disease. It begins in a very small way and spreads to infect every part of us. And the outcome, the Bible says, is death. The wages of sin is death. And the longer we live in our sins, the more they take hold of us. You might have observed adults that you know who are steeped in sin. They are angry and they can't control their anger. There are many adults today, older people especially, who live with a lot of bitterness and resentment about things that have happened in their lives, and they can't forgive things that people have done to them, or they even live with regret at the mistakes that they've made. There are people that are very hateful, who gossip and make derogatory remarks about other people, and these things just tumble out of their mouths. They don't even think about what they're doing. Many people today suffer from addictions, and it's not just drugs and alcohol and smoking, those typical addictions we think about, although of course those are included. But you know, there are other many serious addictions that people are living with today. Video games, addiction to video games, very, very common, especially among young men. Gambling, food, being addicted to the internet. How many of us does that apply to? Or binge watching of box sets. All these things, these addictions, they begin to dominate our lives and we cannot live without them. Let me give you an example of how the disease of sin spreads. I'm sure you can think of a time when you had to tell a lie. You told a lie, perhaps to a parent or teacher. Have you noticed that one lie leads to more sin? You have to tell the lie. Then you have to cover up the lie with an excuse. And then you begin to justify your lie, maybe to that person or maybe to your own heart, telling yourself that the lie was all right. And then we begin to deceive ourselves. We tell ourselves that it doesn't really matter, or nobody really got hurt, or I was entitled to do what I did. We might then think we got away with it, but then we find later down the line, perhaps days or weeks later, that subject where we lied comes up again and we find we have to tell the lie again. Sometimes, you know, we can lie so much that we actually believe the lie rather than the reality, and we deceive ourselves. So this is why sin is described as a disease, because it's progressive, it gets worse and worse, and it weakens and disfigures us. The more we sin, the more our consciences get trodden on. We all have a God-given conscience which cries out when we sin against God. Perhaps the first time you lied or stole something, you felt very guilty. It weighed very heavy upon your mind, upon your conscience. You couldn't stop thinking about it. Well, that's your conscience speaking out, telling you what you've done is wrong, and you ought to have put it right and asked God for forgiveness, asked for that person's forgiveness who you lied or stole from. But the more we sin, the more we lie, the more we steal, you know, our consciences get trampled on by our own sin. And soon our consciences stop crying out. They don't trouble us as much because we've ruined them. And very soon we are hopeless liars with dishonesty tumbling out of our mouths automatically. And we don't even feel bad about it anymore. I'm sure you might know people, or perhaps you're like this. You just lie automatically. Straight away, a lie comes out of your mouth. You don't even have to think about what you're doing. Well, without the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of conversion, which comes from when we repent and have faith in him, we cannot control our sins. Earthly remedies and methods can help for a short time, but they can never truly overcome those deeply ingrained sins which get hold of us and dominate us. Well, this leads us nicely into our fourth and final aspect of sin. And this is that the Bible tells us about the power sin has over us and describes us as being slaves to sin. We read about this in Romans chapter 6 if you want to go and read about it later. We sin instinctively, and sin is our master. You think of children who steal or snatch without thinking. This is how our nature is inclined. We don't need to teach children to do naughty things. They do them automatically. Parents and older siblings have to teach children to do the right thing, and they have to constantly, repeatedly tell them what not to do, rather than tell them how to sin. Sin is very powerful, and just like slaves of old who were owned by their masters, they weren't free. We too are not free, but we're dominated by our sin. It rules us and it dictates what we do and what we say and the decisions that we make. Now, you might dispute this. Perhaps you're thinking, I don't agree with this. I am free. I can do whatever I want. Well, have you ever tried to give up a sin? Have you ever tried to stop lying or stop gossiping or stop being proud? Stop thinking about yourself all the time and try and do those opposite positive things? It's very hard. And of course, the trouble is our view of sin is not accurate. We quickly justify our sin, as we said earlier. We make excuses and we think that it's okay. So our view of sin is not clear. This is why we need God's word to tell us these things. How long have you been able to keep up a New Year's resolution? They're notoriously difficult to keep, and often we need a motivation to keep them up, like looking good in front of other people or thinking about our reputation. So then we end up with a very proud motive, even to help us do something good. You might even have had a desire to seek the Lord and become a Christian. But then we often discover that we're chained to this world and its ways and our sins, and we think, how can I seek him? It seems to hold us back. We're enslaved to our sin. Well, in the old days, slaves could be redeemed by a member of their family or a friend who would pay a high price for their freedom. This is a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He is our Redeemer. We often use that word to describe him, because he has purchased our freedom from sin at Calvary. He has paid that high price, which was taking upon himself the punishment for the sins of all those who will ask him for forgiveness, who will repent and have faith in him. And in addition to taking away our sin, he has lived that perfect life of righteousness and obedience in our place, that life which we could never live. Well, as we finish our lesson today, we're reminded of the good news of the gospel. We've thought a lot about sin, and I hope that some of the applications will help you to see the depth of sin and how it's in all of us. None of us are exempt from this sinful state that the Bible describes. But we know that the Bible has wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we read in our Bible reading earlier from John chapter 1, and we read about John the Baptist, who preceded the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was actually a fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah, who wrote, inspired of God, in chapter 40 of Isaiah, about one who would come before Christ and announce his coming. And down, we didn't read to verse 29, but in verse 29 of John chapter 1, John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus coming, he announced, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, so many people today think that Jesus was just a moral example or a famous teacher. But the purpose of him coming, we learn from throughout the Bible, but also from this verse, this saying of John the Baptist, that the Lord Jesus Christ's purpose of coming to earth was to deal with the problem of sin If we were not sinners or sin was not very serious, he would never have had to come. But we are sinners and sin is serious. We've thought today about how we are rebels against God. We have broken his laws. We are diseased with sin and slaves to sin. And we need the forgiveness of the Lord God to enter into his presence. We cannot enter into his presence as we are. We must have our sins dealt with. Do you know why the Lord Jesus was described as a lamb? I'm sure many of you will know that in Old Testament times, a lamb was sacrificed for the sins of the people. And all of those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were just pictures of the coming Messiah, the promised Saviour who would come and be the ultimate sacrifice. He would die once for the sins of all those who would repent and have faith. So we've considered these four aspects of sin, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us from these and give us a new heart when we repent and have faith, a heart that desires to please him and live for him. Have you seen your sin? I pray that today the Lord will help you to see the reality of your sinful heart, that you may realize the great love of the Saviour who has died in your place to take away that punishment and secure salvation for you in this life and into all eternity. Let's pray together. Dear Lord our God, we thank thee for this time, reading from thy word, hearing from the things that thou wouldst have us learn. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to see our sin. Oh Lord, we are indeed slaves to sin, so much so that we cannot see that sin is our master. Sin is what rules us. Oh Lord, we need thy Holy Spirit to quicken our hearts and help us to see our sinful state. Convict us, dear Lord, we pray, that we may rush to the Saviour and know and love him as the one who has died in our place to take away all that punishment for sin that we deserve. Oh Lord, bless our hearts, we pray. Help us to ponder and think about the things that we've heard today. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Well, as I said at the beginning of the lesson, it's really lovely that you've been able to join with us today. And we do pray that you've been blessed by God's word in our lesson. Just to encourage those of you who haven't yet participated in the Bible class quiz, please do that. It's so lovely to see your answers coming through, and we hope that we'll see many more in the coming days. And also for those of you that are able, those of you that don't already come to the Sunday services at the church. We've been open for 4 Sundays now, and it's really lovely being able to see one another and meet together. So we have our gospel service at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Our services are just under an hour at the moment, so it's not a long time, and you'd be very blessed and you'd be very welcome if you were to come along. So we look forward to seeing you all soon, and hopefully very soon in Bible class once again.